Now. Real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Somebody texts in and says, Niall, you're not going to talk about Donald Trump and all the executive orders. We talked about it last night, and there were some in at that stage. We can't really talk about it every night, and I understand there's a lot going on there. I even heard in the news there he wasn't too pleased about a ceremony of mass where an archbishop or a dean or whatever it was asked him to be kind to the people of LGBT. I don't think he's having a go with LGBT people. I think that's a bit of a myth, by the way. You know, when he talks about male and female, I mean, gay people are male or they're female. He's not having a go with them. He's just saying, as far as he's concerned, biologically, he believes there's only two genders. And he said, as America's position on that, from a governmental point of view, is there's only two genders. It was like that 10 years ago. I mean, it's only the last 7 or 8 years that I've heard people like Regina Doherty, for example, say the seven genders or whatever it is. So I don't think he's having a go at gay people. I don't think that's the case. Anyway, he was asked outside by a reporter what he thought of the ceremony. What did she think he was going to say? It was great. Of course, the guy was having a go at him. Why would he think it was great? I mean, and then she seemed disappointed that he didn't think it was great. That's a bit odd. You know, we're going to have another 4 years of the media questioning everything he does. When Joe Biden did some seriously mad shit over the last 4 years, and he did, by the way, the media didn't question it. They don't give him a fair run. I'm not suggesting everything Donald Trump does is right. Absolutely not. But give him a chance. Let's see what happens. You know what I mean? And they're talking about somebody during the news there mentioned, you know, obviously his bid to get Greenland and the Panama Canal. I mean, and using military force, or the suggestion that he may use military force. Remember, Donald Trump is the only president who didn't go to war. He's the only president. So, and he said it himself, he's a peacemaker. He wants to end wars. And I honestly couldn't see Donald Trump doing something like that. But maybe I'm wrong. And I hope I am wrong, by the way. I hope military force is not used. I hope negotiations are used if that's what he wants to do. He's not the first president, by the way, to want to do that. Okay, back to overcrowding in Irish prisons. In an article in the Irish Examiner yesterday, the government of Mountjoy Prisons has said he is grappling with an overcrowding crisis with 922 inmates in a prison with a maximum capacity of 755. That's a serious problem, isn't it? David Tracy said the crisis is replicated across the Irish prison system, with Limerick's male and female prisons, Cork Prison and the Docus Women's Prison in Dublin. Pardon me. That's Martin's fault, by the way, for bringing in the Red Bull. All overcrowded. Thank you, Martin. We really enjoyed the cakes and the Red Bull and the sweets and everything else. We made pigs of ourselves. To cram prisoners in, Mr. Tracy said they have all installed, 114 bunk beds into small cells and squeezed a further 82 mattresses onto floors of other single cells. All the single cells have an open toilet. And according to Mr. Tracy, a prison should be 90% of capacity and not the 120% it is at the moment. Yeah, they always like to leave a little leeway, 90 to 95%, so they can allow 5% for people coming and going. Now, the repercussions from overcrowding means that there has been a major increase in incidents and interventions at the prison. Prisoners are not able to spend as much time out of their cell as they would usually be required. On a prisoner, on-prisoner violence has increased. But I want to know what you think. And I was talking to somebody about this today, and I said, you know, God, isn't that awful? You know what I mean? When I say it's awful, like, I suppose if you don't treat people well in prison, they're going to come out equally as bad, I suppose. If you treat them like wild animals, they'll behave like wild animals. Isn't that the argument? Whereas this guy said to me today, and I was talking to him, and he says, why should I care? They've committed a crime. I couldn't care if there was 10 of them in a cell. He said, they haven't committed a crime. They wouldn't be in there in the first place. It's called punishment for a reason. It's not meant to be the Hilton. If they went to a place, you know, if you went to a prison, for example, in the Middle East or somewhere like that, you certainly wouldn't be treated any better. You'd be treated a lot worse. There'd be 40s in a cell. So the question I want to ask you is, should they be expected, you know, I mean, I want to know, should we care? I mean, they are criminals who committed a crime and are now being punished for their crimes. Should they be expected to stay in a hotel? I mean, after all, it is a prison. So I want to know, do you care? Or is it wrong? You know, when there's like five prisoners in one small cell designed for two. Let me know what you think. The number is, as usual, 087-188-0008. Chris, hi, how are you?
How's it going, Noel?
How you doing?
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you.
Since before the Christmas.
Yeah, Happy New Year. Hope it's a good year for you.
Well, so far, so good. I've spent half my life in prison. I've been in now since 2021. I got out. Up on then, I was out 2015. I got out after doing 8 years. 2009, I got out after doing 3 years. 2005, I got out after doing 2.5 years.
And can I ask if it's like, you don't have to tell me if you don't want to, but I'm sure it's a matter of public record. Can I ask what you were in jail for on those occasions?
It was all drug related crime.
Okay.
It was an addict.
Okay. And I'm assuming you were dealing then to feed your habit.
I was dealing. I was robbing. I was dealing in in stolen goods.
Mm-hmm.
People will say, none of my clients are violent, you know.
Okay.
So there was no actually a horse. Now there was probably a gun pointed at someone. And I know that hurt someone mentally, but there was no physical, nobody physically hurt, if you know what I mean.
Does that scare you a bit, that at some point in your life you pointed a gun at somebody? Does that frighten you a bit when you think about that?
Sorry?
Because does it frighten you a little bit at some point you pointed a gun at somebody? Because that could have ended up very differently, I suppose. Does that frighten you a little bit?
I get that now, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the time, you know what I mean, I wasn't thinking that, you know.
Of course, you're off your head.
Of, you know, where I needed my next fix, or whereas I was after getting stuff off of someone, and I'd probably went through the best part of it, and then that bill had to be paid, and so there was a crime had to be committed
to get the money
to be paid. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's where it was. You know what I mean? I never robbed I never robbed a handbag. I never robbed a woman. I never stuck a syringe to anyone. I never done anything like that. You know what I mean? The way I always looked at it was always a shop, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when the shop was stored, and you know what I mean, like, or if your man was, like, delivering a box, do you know what I mean, and I was taking the box off him, do you know what I mean, he was insured, like, it was all, the money was all insured, do you know what I mean?
But but you do know there's no such thing as a victim's crime. But the point is, you know now, looking back, you're wrong. Are you clean now, by the way?
I am now, yeah.
Good,
I'm 5 years clean now. And since then I've changed my life. I'm married. I have a new baby. I have a lovely home. I work. For the first time in my life, do you know what I mean? My wife has a corporate job. She didn't, you know, see seen the better side of me. If you know what I mean.
Fair play to her, by the way. Take it. She took a big risk, didn't she?
Yeah. She did, so there was getting back to the story.
So which prison were you in, by the way? Which prison were you in?
I was in every one of them.
Right.
I was in every one except for Castlereagh and Limerick. I haven't been to Limerick and I haven't been to Castlereagh.
Okay, so you're in Mountjoy. What do you think of this now? There's 922 inmates in a prison that only holds 75, so they're putting in more bunk beds and mattresses on the floor.
When I went into Mountjoy at the time had no toilets in it. So you used a bucket, a piss pot.
Yeah.
And when I went in, the very first night I went in, there was four of us in that cell. So there was a set of bunk beds, and then there was two mattresses on the floor. The half the mattress went underneath the bottom bunk. And the other mattress then went along the wall, down along the back of the door, and then all the piss buckets, the four piss buckets and the bin, were all down basically beside who's ever sleeping on the floor, on that mattress. At that point, but then they brought in the toilet. So when they brought in the toilet, and the way they done it, whoever done it, the person who got the job. The contractor who got that job, he got a backhander, because the way it was done, it was just done ridiculous.
I don't think it was a case of getting a backhander. I think the problem was the building is a listed building. It's a very old building, and it's very difficult to replumb. So I don't think it was a case of anybody getting backhanded. I'm just telling you, it's probably not the easiest job in the world. Let's not focus too much on that. But so the overcrowding at the moment, right? when you've got six people in a cell for that's made really realistically designed for two, not four. There shouldn't even be bunk beds, right?
They're not. See, that's where you're wrong. All cells in Mountjoy, bar the cells downstairs in the basement, are actually designed for one person. Mm. So where you're getting this and where it's being told, all cells on from A, B, C, and D. So you have A1, A2, and A3, and so on. B1, B2, B3, C1, 2, 3, and D1, 2, 3. They're all single cells. There is no double cells in any of them. They have been converted to double cells, right? So there's a massive, what's it called? There's been a double bed being put into them, and it's mounted into the wall. The way they come in, literally, where the toilet is, so the person who's sleeping on the bottom bunk, his head is 6 inches away from the toilet bowl.
Jesus.
That's where his head is. It's 6 inches away from the toilet bowl.
Say the smell is great.
Do you know what I mean? And then you also have, some of them now have trained, I remember when they were doing Mountjoy up at the time, right? There was six fellas, right? So they had three sets of bunks in the cell that was next door to me. So I was lucky enough, I was a painter. My door was open all day. You know what I mean? I didn't get locked up till 10 o'clock at night. So it was great for me because I was out and about and I was out.
Yeah, you were a trustee. Yeah, you were trusted.
The trustee, but there was
get to the original argument, right? So the argument is from some people, this is terrible, this is awful, you can't be treating people like that, they come out worse if you treat them like that, whereas other people turn around and say, hold on, they're criminals, they committed serious crimes, they're in there for a reason, I don't care how they're treated. What do you say to that argument?
I do, and they are there, and as I said to you, a majority of them are there because they've committed a crime to feed a habit. Now, you know, like, I come from a good family. A couple of my friends actually come from very, very, very well-to-do families, so it's not like that it's all people from Ballymun or, like, I have two friends from Fox Rock. Who ended up, and they were the worst addicts you'll ever come across.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's not just like, you know what I mean, in one area, you know what I mean?
But most people don't care why somebody is in there. When I say they don't care why somebody's in there, if somebody's an addict and commits a crime to feed their habit, the victims of those crimes, they don't care why they committed the crime. They just care that they committed the crime and they need to be punished for doing it. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I get that. But I also think that instead of locking someone up on a drug-related crime, right? Now, so I went and I got myself clean and I went done and I done all the whole program, everything, graduated. I was in the middle of doing social studies, everything, and I still went in front of a judge. I'm not going to mention his name because...
He's,
you know what I mean? But he himself, he put me back into jail after me producing for 3.5 years of clean everything down, turning my whole life around, working, actually having a letter from a job, and he still sent me back to prison. Do you know what I mean? He did not give me no chance whatsoever.
There's two trains of thought on that. There are some people who would say that was really unfair and you should have taken into consideration the circumstances and given you parole. But there are other people who say, well, hold on. No, I'm sorry. The sentence was, 6 years or whatever it was, you know, and you have to serve your sentence. Obviously, less the remission, the time that you get off, you know, the 15% or 20%.
He sent me back for two.
Yeah.
Now, I went back in and I actually stayed clean. This time, I actually went in and I changed.
Yeah, well done. Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. And I stayed clean.
Yeah.
But what I'm trying to say to you is this, what they should do is three strikes or two strikes even, you know, that if you have a drug-related crime, right, you go to the drug courts, right? So you have to link in with probation service, this, that, and the other. And if you pick up another charge, no matter what it is, if you're caught pissing crook on the side of the street, then you go back in to do the state.
Do you know, Chris, by the way, just before I go into the break, and I want you to stay with me anyway because I want to go to Rob in a second, but do you know how many convictions you've had throughout your life? Many convictions have you had?
Many convictions do I have? I have 74 convictions. 76.
76.
Now, see, when you say 76, like, so when I get, say, done on one, so, like, say I went in and I robbed the shop, right? So
you might have got a suspended sentence, yeah.
No, just say when I go in and I rob a shop, I will probably get 6 charges for robbing that shop.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Generally speaking, on your first offence for robbing the shop, maybe you'll get a suspended sentence. So, you know, there is a case in Ireland where you do get a few strikes before you're out, because they generally don't put people in jail first time, as long as it's not a very serious crime. Well, now, don't get me wrong, robbing a shop is serious enough.
But what I'm saying is you see the 76 that I have, like, I probably only committed probably, say, 11 crimes altogether to have them 76 convictions.
I know, there's multiple charges, yeah, with each crime. I get you.
I get multiple charges coming up.
Yeah, because the one where you had the gun, you would have had possession of a firearm and all that kind of stuff, yeah.
Possession of a firearm, possession with a firearm with intent, possession taking such and such from one person, you know what I mean, opening the till, all these different, do you know what I mean?
I do get that, I understand that. Do me a favour, stay there for a second, Chris. I want to go to Rob after the break. The number, by the way, is 087-188-0008. Stay there for a second, Chris, if you can. Let me go to Rob. Rob, hi. How are you?
Evening, Al.
You're kind of saying we're going to need more space. Well, we've known that for years. Chris is testament to the fact...
That's nothing new, is it?
No. Chris is testament to the fact that they're overcrowded. He's talking about, you know, somebody sleeping with their head 9 inches away from a jacks. You know, I mean, that's...
Yeah, just since your other contributor there. It was unbelievable. It's horrible. I mean... For someone like that has never been in jail before, I'd say it must be a real frightening experience.
Probably.
I can only imagine how bad this is. Now, the state's argument is you to be punished, and your punishment is loss of freedom.
Yeah, you lose your liberty. Yeah.
Yeah, your liberty. That's it. They still must care for you and provide for you. But I think you're just thrown to the dogs there in places like that.
What do you say to people who are texting in who don't care?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, well, see, the general public, that's it, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people would say, well, hold on for a second, you know, and no disrespect to Chris, but he committed a lot of crimes in his life. There's a lot of victims. There's a lot of people out there, you know what I mean, who obviously,
the only people that,
whose lives are changed because of his crimes, and they say, I don't feel sorry for him, I'm sorry. That's what they'd say.
I know, but in my opinion, the only people that should be really in jail are people who are a danger to the public or who have killed people and are a danger, a live and present danger to another person, you know, alive. Mm. You know, like I can't see the reason for locking people up for money, for financial or theft or stuff like that. I really don't see that.
When you say theft, you know, if you walk into a shop, and I don't know whether Chris did this, but if you walk into a shop with a gun in your hand and say, give me all the money, sure, you're a dangerous person.
Well, that's what I'm saying. A threat to life.
Yeah.
If you're a threat to life, no. You should be locked up. Of course you should.
Yeah. There's no nice way to rob a shop, by the way. You have to go in and threaten people to rob a shop.
Oh, yeah. But Jamie, could you deal with all life, you know?
I couldn't. Chris clearly could at the time because he was strung out. You know what I mean?
But yeah.
Maybe he wouldn't be able to do it now. Chris, could you do it now if you were stuck for money?
No.
What?
No, because I wouldn't be getting myself into the situation where I owe money. And just to let you know, any gun I ever walked in with was either a replica or it was never loaded.
The victim doesn't know that.
What?
The person you're pointing it at doesn't know that.
The person didn't know that. No, I get that. The person didn't know that. But I always made sure that it wasn't, for the simple reason was I didn't want an accident to happen. You know what I mean? I didn't want to be put into a position.
But if you walked into a shop with an unloaded gun, and pointed at somebody and said, give me the money out of the till, whatever, right? To them, it's irrelevant whether there's a bullet in the chamber or not. They don't know that.
I know that.
The experience is exactly the same. They're terrified. They think you're going to shoot them.
I get that. I 100% get that.
Yeah, sorry, Rob.
Yeah, sorry. Chris, can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
People that have ended up in jail, right, up in Mount Joy, and so I'm just saying this now. Young lads like 18 to 30 years of age or whatever, and they never took drugs in their life, and they end up in drugs in there. Is that possible?
I don't know how many young fellas I have seen coming through the system that have never taken a drug in their life and ended up strung out of the background because they're not able to do the jail. They're not able to be behind the door. You know what I mean? They need to...
Is it easy to get drugs in jail?
You need to get them out ahead. You know what I mean? The amount of people...
It's just the past today, like,
And these are people who I've seen whose fathers and their mothers have been in on drugs all their lives. And they've always swore, I'll never do this, I'll never do that.
But Chris, can I ask you a question? Is it easy to get drugs in jail?
I'll give you one story, right? Years ago, there was a drought on outside. There was no heroin to be got at all on the street, right?
Yeah.
None whatsoever. In 2010, I think it was, right?
Yeah.
And the girl that I was seeing at the time, right, she was an addict. And she used to come up to me twice a week on a visit. And I would bring her drugs out of prison to give to her because she couldn't get them outside.
So you were getting it easier in jail?
I was getting them easier in jail for her than she was able to get them on the street.
And can I ask you another question? So when you're in jail, you get an allowance, a weekly allowance or whatever it is, right? It's a small amount of money. How do you pay for the drugs in jail?
Sorry?
How do you pay for the drugs when you're in jail?
Some people have family that will pay for them. Some people have, some people will have people that will bring it into them and sell it into themselves. There's so many different ways.
Right, okay.
So many different ways. The money that we get from the prison, that doesn't pay for it.
No, that's totally wouldn't.
That's even by a pack of tobacco these days.
Yeah. I don't know what...
Tobacco these days is, what, 27 euro? And I think it's like 15 euros a week is all you get off of your graft. That's all it is.
A young fella, like maybe he's 22 years of age or whatever, and he's in there. And he never took drugs in his life. And all of a sudden, he finds himself, he's gone into this downward spiral of taking drugs. And he's on drugs when he comes out.
So he's worse coming out than he is going in, is what you're saying.
And that's shocking.
There is absolutely no reform whatsoever in the Irish prison system. Like I know fellas who actually, and I did, this is a story and it's a true story, right? That was a fella that was being given PR, and he did not want to go out, and he was given PR 2 weeks before Christmas, and he did not want to be. He wanted to be in for Christmas. Do you know what he went out and he done? He went out into the car park and started jumping up and down on the bonnet of one of the cars, the staff cars. Bring him straight back in. There's so many people that actually want to be in prison because they have
somewhere to live. Yeah.
Is that true though, Chris? Yeah.
Yeah. But I've heard that before too, Rob. Okay, I'm looking at some of the comments coming in here. Somebody says, Niall, if we're going to use money to improve any service, it should be the health service and A&E, certainly not prisons. I don't care what happens to them. That's the kind of attitude, Chris, that you have to deal with.
Yeah. There's so many people that want to be in prison,
Do you know what I mean? Because they have a better life in prison. They have 3 meals a day. They've, like, this thing about having Sky Sports and having Netflix and this, that.
That's nonsense.
You don't have them things. You don't have them things. Like, you have Sky Sports, yes. Sky Sports are out in the recreation room, so you can go out and watch a match on a Saturday or a Sunday, or whenever there's a match on. You don't have Sky Sports in yourself. You have, like, the normal terrestrial stations. That's all you have. The BBC One, BBC Two, Channel 4.
In your cell. In your cell.
RTÉ, just your normal average station. And then you get Netflix comes on for an hour. I think it's 2 hours in the evening time and an hour through the day. And that's all you get. So you get, so if there's, say, the likes of Breaking Bad that's on, right? They show you 2 episodes.
I think Breaking Bad is probably the last thing you should be watching, but go on anyway, sorry.
You get two episodes at night, and you get 1 episode through the dinner.
Okay, but then you do have Netflix. Yeah, okay, you might not have it for a long time, so you do have Netflix, you have a TV. Okay, yeah. But, you know, the other stuff about, you know, obviously there's a gym to keep fit. PlayStations and Xboxes. Is there PlayStations and Xboxes?
There are PlayStations. We have Xboxes, yeah. But the PlayStations that we have, they're all none of them are the up to date ones. Mm. They're all the old ones before. See, USB is
the USB port
that's in them. They can be used for charging phones. So the and if you have a phone that you can connect it up and you connect it to the internet. So none of the new games consoles are allowed for that reason that you can't. But to be honest with you, there's more iPhones and more Samsung Galaxies going around up there than there is any sort of consoles.
And do a lot of people in prison have phones?
I'd say 2 out of every 5 people would have a phone. Yeah.
Obviously, you're not obviously meant to have a phone, but yeah, they have them.
Is that the small, tiny little one?
You know where they're coming from?
Where?
Yeah, no.
Where?
They're coming from the prison officers. The prison officers are bringing them in.
Well, obviously, that's your experience and observation. I don't know how true that actually is, but yeah.
Through COVID, when the phones were for sale, like them little small phones the size of your finger, they were going for €1,500.
Go away.
€1,500.
You know, €25 in the Mirror Street.
Yeah. €1,500 they were.
And how else are they getting the phones in? Up their arse, I suppose. Visitors bring them in up their arse. Yeah.
Well,
you won't get a Samsung Galaxy up your arse, but I mean, you get the small ones, the little Nokia ones, the little ones.
Yeah. Well, that's where I used to sleep with my little Nokia.
Did you ever get caught with it?
I was never caught with a phone. No, I was never caught with a phone.
What's the lock-up time, Chris?
Right, so your day consists of your dog comes at 8:15 in the morning for breakfast. Uh-huh. And your breakfast consists of Rice Krispies, cornflakes, or Weetabix. Right, you get a pint of milk. You bang back, you lock back up at 8:30. You get out then at 9:30. So 9:30 then slop out, you clean up, showers, this, that, and the other. 10 o'clock, you have to be off the landing. You go to the gym, you go to workshops, you go to school, whatever. You finish 10, 11:45, you have to be back on the landing. The food starts getting served at 12 o'clock. The doors are all shut and locked again 12:30. So 12:30, then you're banged up for 2:15. And then it's from 2:15, then you're either back gym, school, yard, whatever it is that you do for them 2 hours, then you're banged up then, so tea gets served at 4 o'clock until 4:30, and then you're locked up till 5:30, and then you go in at 5:30, so they call you in then from the yard, the gym, whatever, at 6:45, and from 7 o'clock on then it's
like, you know, that you're running around getting your medication, if you're a drug addict, you're running around, you're getting your swabs, you're getting this, you're getting that, you know what I mean? You're getting a joint, you're chasing it, and then you're banged up from 7:30 and that's it.
That's a long night, isn't it? That is a long night.
No, and the television in the cell, does that go off at a particular time, or can you say leave it on all night?
No. Mountjoy is the only prison in the whole of the country that you can't turn your own lights out. Every other prison in the whole of the country, you can turn your lights out, but you can't turn them out in Mountjoy. Sometimes you can get an officer who is just dog lazy, and he doesn't do his checks. So you put your light on to tell him to turn it, like, and he wants your lights off at, say, 10 o'clock. And it could be 2, 3 o'clock in the morning before he comes to turn them lights out. And your light is left on. Whereas in all the other prisons in the whole of the country, you can turn your own light on and off.
And in the middle of the night there now, Chris, and like, there's, five or six in a cell.
Yeah.
5 or 6 fellas in the cell. And one of them is sick. Is he able to get treatment? Or is he...
If a medic doesn't come or a screw doesn't come around, then everyone just starts topping the door over, and then that brings the attention, and you just say he's not well, and then a medic will come and check on him.
Okay, well, stay there for a second. Let me go to Susan. Hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
I'm good. You heard Chris. He spent some time in jail.
I was just charging myself. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
So I had you on the speaker.
Yeah. Okay. You heard Chris. He spent some time in prison. But in saying that, the prisons are overcrowded. Do you care that prisoners are in really bad conditions?
Very much, Niall. And I'm glad that I'm able to talk to you about it, Niall, because it upsets me, prisons across the board. Across every country. I think in Finland or somewhere like that, there's a place where you go and you don't do long sentence, do you know?
This is the place where they're sitting out on the beach, where the prisoners are sitting out on the beach. I've seen that one.
Well, I'm not sure about that. Yeah. There's some place up the mountains where you go, but you just do 9 months and you can come in, you can go in, and you can come out, you know, and you have your own key.
Sounds like a holiday camp.
It's not,
yeah.
Well, it's not really like a dreadful place where you're locked inside in a cell, and like that poor unfortunate chap was saying there, that you get out, you're back in.
Hang on. Let's not go down this road. When you say poor unfortunate chap, I mean, don't get me wrong, Chris has turned his life around. I'm delighted to hear he has, and I hope he continues to do that. But he wasn't a poor unfortunate chap when he was robbing people, or when he was doing drugs, or he was selling drugs, or whatever it was he was doing.
I understand all that now, but I'd like to just say, I think if you can get children from a very young age and show them the ropes and show them the right way,
I agree.
That then...
Yeah.
Oh.
No, I do agree that we should be tackling crime at a young age. Yeah.
Get them some help so they wouldn't go down that road, you know, and get them some special education so they're not going to think...
And I don't disagree with you, Susan. Now, Susan, I don't disagree with you, but we don't live in a utopian world where we can solve crimes that easily. You know, there's always no matter how hard we try and we tackle crime at a young age, you are 100% right with community guard and all that kind of stuff. But you're still going to end up with people like Chris, for example, you know, who will be a career criminal, essentially. There's still going to be people like that.
I know, like the likes of Hutchshaw, the likes of the Kinahan boy. I understand all that. I read them all the time. I'm fascinated by criminals. I really am. I kind of like, how would you say, not fantasize, that's not the right word, but... sorry, Niall, I thought I lost you again.
No.
I think, you know, I'm fascinated by criminals and that kind of a lifestyle, like the Cray brothers and that kind of thing, you know, fascinates me. So I'm not trying to...
You're not one of these people who writes to people on death row or...
Yes, something like that. Yeah,
oh, you do?
Yeah,
oh, okay. That's a weird fact. That's an odd fascination.
Yeah, well, I went to visit somebody at the prison in Midlands, you know,
with the
Vincent de Paul, you know, because he wasn't getting visitors, you know, so...
Well, that's a nice thing to do, I suppose.
I kind of like... I wasn't flavour of the month here, you know what I mean?
No, I wouldn't imagine you were. I don't think it was super...
John...
Sorry, Chris, you were trying to say something to Susan there. Go ahead, Chris.
Going.
Chris, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, you wanted to say something to Susan quickly before we go into the break there.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry?
Did you want to say something to Susan there? Sorry.
Yeah, no, like, see what you're saying there. 80% of prisoners that's locked up in this country are all locked up for drug-related crime. And that's what it is.
Yeah.
Like you have, so you have 20% of all these people that are locked up and all, you know, are like, I didn't
think it was that high, Chris, 80%, but go on anyway, yeah.
But you'll be talking 80, between...
It's a high percentage, yeah. Yeah.
Now, that's what I'm talking about normal in general population. I'm not talking about your sex offenders or anything like that. You know what I mean? That's a completely different ballgame altogether. And believe me, they're not overcrowded. They're not living the way a normal person... Like, you want to see the way sex offenders live. They live like lords. They live like lords in the prison system.
They'd be protected, yeah. Chris, wouldn't they?
They're not classed as criminals. They're classed as sick individuals.
They're the lowest of the low, yeah. But actually, do me a favour. Chris and Susan, please stay there because I have to go into a quick break and I'm going to come to Mike as well after the break, who believes prisons are a holiday camp. Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-TREBLE. I'm just seeing breaking news come in there for the first time in God knows many years. I think it's about 60 years. It's actually snowing in Florida. They're expecting 10 inches of snow in Pensacola and a couple of places along the Gulf of America, as they call it nowadays, not the Gulf of Mexico. Anyway, so it's snowing in Florida for the first time. I think that's probably the first time in 60 years. Let me go to Mike. Mike, hi, how are you?
Hey, how are things?
Good. Mike, you've been listening to Chris there, you know, saying the conditions are bad, you know.
My heart bleeds for him.
You don't feel sorry for him, obviously.
Oh, for God's sake, guys, come on. That's what's gone wrong with this society today. You know, it's their choice to do what they're doing. You know?
Yeah, well, he had a choice.
What should he know next? We'll take it off. Sorry. My blood is boiling. Can you imagine the people that they hurt, that they robbed, they beat, they hammered, like that? Look, and I don't mention the individuals, but like, and they're inside in jail. They have the best of facilities, the best of grub. They have a 3-course meal or whatever, and their food is changed every other week. What? Normal working class people can't afford that. They're just struggling to put grub up on their table and struggling to live. And what I think what a prison should be about, and they're on about rehabilitation. It should be built out in an island where that they have to work every day to provide, to keep themselves, to make themselves self-sufficient and understand. See, they don't understand. They're on... make a living out of robbing. They make a lifestyle out of it, out of robbing and selling drugs and doing drugs and buying drugs.
I mean, Chris is not denying that he deserved to go to jail for what he did. He knows what he did is wrong. When he's been to jail 3 or 4 times now. So he knows what he did is wrong. He knows walking into a shop with a gun, whether it's loaded or not, was the wrong thing to do. It's not the right thing to do. But he was strung out of his head. He needed money for drugs. I'm not giving him an out here, by the way. All he's saying is, well, look, when you are going to lock me up, at least treat me like a human.
Treat him like... Did he think like that when he went into a shop with a piece in his hand, Niall?
Well, you can ask him yourself.
Well, I said, well, listen, Niall, I had a piece put in my face, okay?
So did I. I was manager of a shop back in the 1980s, and a fellow walked in on the keys. So I was a news agent, and a fellow walked in with a gun and pointed at me, and I shit myself. Literally shit myself.
Yeah. I didn't know it. I looked him straight in the eye and I said, please pull the two triggers together.
Yeah.
I was in a bad fucking place now. Your man, he shit himself.
Chris, the point, when you're saying, you know, people should be treated humanely, are you thinking about that, the point Mike is making, when you're walking into a shop or robbing a shop or where you're injuring somebody else or robbing somebody else?
Sorry, Noel.
But, you know, you're saying you should be treated humanely when you're in jail. But, you know, the point Mike is making is you weren't thinking of treating other people humanely when you were committing crimes.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't thinking that. I wasn't thinking of him. I wasn't thinking of any of that. You know what I mean? I was just thinking of...
Sorry, Dino, mate. And when you wouldn't get there, you're the best of medical help. You're the best of whenever. Okay. And the likes of your parents, that if they're going to A&E, they can be inside there for 24 hours or 48 hours before they get help. And there you, because you haven't got a single room, your nose is out of joint. Oh, God, you know. You know, do you see what I'm saying now? Like,
I understand. When you're listening to the Governor Mountjoy giving out about overcrowding, you know, some innocent 70-year-old is sitting in A&E for 24 hours with 50 other people waiting to see a doctor, whereas if you're in jail and you're sick, a doctor will see you fairly quickly. Yeah.
Chuck it down now. That's my point.
Yeah, sorry.
There's no deterrent to going to jail today, like, where if they were out in the middle...
Nah, no, you can't say there's no deterrent. I wouldn't like to go to jail. You know?
Niall, because you're a walker. You walk your socks up. You walk your rear door family. You walk hard. You walk them 3-4 o'clock in the morning to provide for your family. Yeah? Mm. And you know, you're still at it. You're doing 5 nights a week there from 9 to 12. And
podcasts during the day as well. Yeah.
I'm not into that now. Look, we're looking with television.
Oh, you should. Yeah, you should listen to it every day live at 12 o'clock. Quick plug. But Susan, you're listening to Mike.
Yeah, I thought of the word. Glamorize.
Yeah, he's no sympathy. He doesn't care.
Oh, Mike doesn't care about that man.
No.
About the people. Yeah, but he's a victim. He's a victim, do you know?
He's a victim, is he? Oh, okay.
And I think that's a good idea, what Mike is saying, about having a prison out in an island and having people working.
Are you saying Chris is a victim? Chris, the guy that was in jail, he's a victim, is he?
No, the other man, Mike, is it?
Mike was a victim of crime.
He had the gun pointed at him.
Yeah.
I mean, and it happened to Mummy when she went in the bank and she had the gun pointed at her for cash. You know, and I feel terrible about that for victim.
It's frightening.
Of course it's frightening. It's absolutely dreadful. But, you know, I just think, as Mike, he had a fantastic point to have the gun, or not the gun, but sorry, the prison out in an island, like Spike Island, you know?
I thought you were for these nice prisons, these open prisons a few minutes ago, where they can come and go as they please. She went to visit
prisoners.
Well,
prisoners. I do. Yeah. I'm contradicting myself now.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's good for people to be inside in a cell for that amount of time. And I know you need to have a deterrent to stop people doing crime, but it's not a deterrent because it's so easy in the prisons, people are saying. You know, it's not like difficult. But it sounds difficult to me if they don't turn your light off.
Well, that does, but do I feel sorry for them?
How about the people that can't afford to put on their lights and can't afford to heat their houses, heat their homes? They're struggling every day to do that. They're the victims, not the people inside in prison. And they're lapping it up. And
Telly's in their cell with Netflix on for 3 or 4 hours a day.
I just think it's a big expense, Mike, you know, prisons. Like, that's still costing the government and costing the country a hell of a lot of money.
100,000 per prisoner per year. Stay there, Mike and Susan.
That's a lot of money. Can we just close them down?
No, you need them. You have to keep these people who are unsafe and you have to keep them away from society. Stay there for a second, Susan.
We don't need them.
Mike, how
are you?
That's different. Mick, hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing,
Paul? I'm good, Mick. You've heard what Mike says. Mike doesn't feel sorry for them at all. He said prison's like a holiday camp.
I would love to give that man a virtual handshake. I agree 100% with him.
Mm.
100%.
Susan,
anyone that goes into prison. Now, I'm not a victim, Susan, by the way. I was never a victim. No, I never broke the law. Anybody that goes into a prison deserves it. And it is a holiday camp. 3 square meals a day, Netflix, pool tables, televisions, and they're crying because they can't turn a light off at night time. Oh, just pay me your labour.
You're paying for that through your taxes.
Yeah, I know I'm paying for it, but Susan, I let you talk. If I had my way, I'd have the prison gone back to what they were 100 years ago. I wouldn't give them for 3 square meals a day. Each and every one of them are fucking criminals. And I don't care what law or what rules they broke. They go in there, they serve the time, and it should be hard time. The very things for that rehabilitation. My arse. They're not in there. They're in there. They're getting 3 square meals. They have the life of Jesus Riley out there. For the life of me and that gentleman there that was on the phone there a couple of minutes ago, Mike.
Mike.
Working every day and every night of the week that we can get to keep our food and our lights on. They should have nothing in that prison. It's only a bale of straw and maybe a blanket between 3 or 4 of them. The hell with the whole lot of them. They shouldn't be in there in the first place. And don't tell me, oh, it's the drugs. Or the drugs told me, give me a score. Nobody told. Each and every one of them has their own mind. Each and every one of them has the right to say yes or no to drink, drugs, robbery, burglary, murder. They need not to score all this crap about peer pressure and want to be in a gang. Each and every person has their own mind. And I guarantee you that Chris was saying there 80% of people that are in the prison are drug-related. I can guarantee you, if you've done a survey, there's not one of them guys that are on drugs that are in prison were held down and the cocks put up their nose or the heroin is shoved into their ears or into their, wherever they shove it. They've done it of their own. They've done it because they've done it.
Susan, you mentioned just before Mick come on there that you believe prisons should be closed down. So where do we put dangerous criminals? Give them their freedom. What do we do
as
with
I
them?
As I said, we have to get them from a young age.
Now, I know all of that and I agree with that bit. But if we're going to close down the prisons, those who are criminals and commit crimes, rob banks, rape people, murder people, where do we put them?
Okay, so we're going to close down the prisons tomorrow and all those people are walking around. Well, the people who were in the mental hospitals who got closed down.
We were treating people with mental health problems like they were criminals years ago. That's a completely different story. We're not talking about that.
Mental hospitals got closed
down. But for a different reason. I'm talking about criminals. People who were ended up in a mental hospital, most of them, were not criminals. They were people who had mental health problems.
But they were still locked up in a mental hospital.
And they shouldn't have been. And most of them shouldn't have been locked up. That's the way we treated people in those days. We're talking about people who walk into a shop and point a gun at someone's head.
Well, yes. I don't think prison is a good deterrent. I don't like prisons as a rule. And that's how I feel. I don't like prisons. I don't think they're good places.
They're not meant to be good places, to be honest with you. Stay there, both, because I need to just squeeze Jennifer in here before we get the news. Jennifer, hi, how are you?
God.
Jennifer, go
how
ahead.
How are you, Niall? No, do you know what? I don't feel sorry for people like who that to do them crimes, because you know what? At the end of the day, and what about the poor family who is going to be traumatised from that shop robbery or whatever? And all in their health and all, like physically and healthily and all, like, do you know what I mean? I think it's very, very wrong to go in and even threaten someone in a shop with a gun or a knife. Because look, you wouldn't even want to be walking outside your hall door anymore because you'd be just traumatised from the whole situation.
Of course you would be. Oh no, it is very traumatising for those victims.
And it's not only that you have to deal with. It's your whole family, Dan, who'll be traumatised. And if anything happens to you or anything happens to your family, you'll never forgive yourself because, like, you're so upset and, you know, and, like, all your depression and then you have to go to speak to a psychologist. So I don't take pity on them people, Niall. Do you know what I mean?
No, I don't take too much pity. Mike, you want to say something just before we go to the break?
I did double bell there.
Just one at a time. Just let Mike finish what he wants to say there, Jennifer. Hang on. Go ahead, Mike.
Niall, I just saw a shotgun pointed at my face and I asked a man to pull the 2 triggers. Do me a favour, I asked him. He shit himself. But I had no help after that. I got no help, right?
Yeah.
And I'll fucking tell you, you know, it is me that would do the time if I met him again, like.
Do you know who he was?
Do I know who he was?
Yeah. Please don't mention his name, obviously, in the air, but do you know who he was?
He was a traveller, like.
Right, okay. Yeah. And what was the reason you had the gun? But were you in a shop, was it? Working in a shop?
No. He robbed the trailer. I mean, I went into the thing to get my trailer back.
And he pointed the gun at your face. Yeah.
Wow. I was going to put on my trailer. He came down, flying down, big, big, beautiful man, yeah. But that's when I come into my own, like when I would be under pressure when my back beats the wall, like I'd have no fear.
And fair play to you, Mike. I'd be shitting myself.
It's fucking hurting now, though, Niall.
Oh, yeah. I can still remember having a gun pointed at me when I was working in that shop in the newsagents. And it was 1980, 81. I was actually robbed twice with a shotgun. And it was one week after the other, coincidentally. So I reckon the people knew each other. They probably thought I was a soft target then. The first time was a sawn-off shotgun.
Of course. They walk in tandem now.
Yeah.
And they walk in tandem. And do you know how I get my relief now, Niall?
Mm.
I'd hit a concrete wall as hard as I could with my hand, just to take as hard as I can. And I said, listen, if he got that between the two, I did fucking know about it.
I remember the conversation. He came in and says, he said to me, give us the money out of the till, right? And it was a Saturday morning, and this newsagent was always really quiet on a Saturday because it relied on the midweek business of the factories. So there was only about 30 quid in the till. And I opened the till, and I said, I wasn't going to be a hero. I said, there's only 30 quid in the till. And he said, that's not enough. And I said, what do you want me to do? I said, look, take some cigarettes, you can sell them. And he says, right. And the other fellow jumped over the counter and started filling a bag he had with cigarettes. And he says to me, I need you to go now and lock yourself in the bathroom. There was a bathroom up the end. I says, I'm on my way. I wasn't going to argue with him. But he decided. Now, the following week, a fella came in on his own. If something different you think is important for people to hear about, we're quite happy to hear from you. The number, as usual, you can just WhatsApp us at 087-188-0008.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.